people aren't necessarily choosing their algorithms intentionally because a lot of us aren't choosing our lives.
It's easier to change the algorithm when you actually know all of the parts to it.
Once you are aware of something, it's not a habit anymore, it's a choice. The underlying thing is like, this is what everybody else has done, comma, so I'm gonna continue to do this exact same.
But it might still be a conscious decision. Like, you consciously made this decision, but you don't realize that this thing is a part of this algorithm. A lot of the first things that we do are automated, or we'll learn things that counter our experiences, but we discredit our own experiences because we feel like we're not the expert of our lives.
Get on my motherfucking face.
Please.
Push the goddamn button.
Yeah, action.
What algorithm are you choosing? So, a little backstory.
Please elaborate.
Yeah. So, I was online and I was scrolling, perusing through the Instagram streets. I don't really like Instagram, but I was scrolling that day. And I happened to land on a video from Bashar. He's like a spirit medium, I think.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, let's just go with that. He just, you know, he be talking to the ancestors. And
the souls!
My bad.
You actually scared me.
But yeah, he'd be talking to
the souls,
and so he was pretty much talking to somebody who had asked questions. She was like, "Hey, I have a habit of doing X, Y, and Z." And he was like, "Why do you keep saying you have a habit?" And he was like, "Cause I have a habit of things." He's like, "You don't have a habit because once you are aware of something, it's not a habit anymore. It's a choice, right? So once you've identified that this thing is recurring, it's no longer a habit because habits are invisible to you. You don't even really know you're doing them." And then it had me thinking about just life in general, but it had me thinking about like the importance of when the habit starts. And I was like, well, habits are kind of like algorithms, right? Because then I asked myself, what's an algorithm? I'm like, well, algorithm is just like a set of moves that you do when something happens. So I was thinking of the Rubik's Cube at the time, but so when you see this scenario, you do up, left, right, whatever the move is, right? So I was thinking about, well, so if it's just choices, right, what algorithm have I set up for myself in my life that has not been working for me? So again, the question would be like, what algorithm do you guys feel like you've been choosing?
You go first.
I've been choosing lack.
That's the algorithm you picked?
Yeah, not intentionally. So now I have to reprogram.
The irony is, it would actually be intentionally, technically speaking. Because the only reason you would do the algorithm...
Let them know, Co.
Go for it.
We was trained.
I don't know what am I telling him.
What this man is talking about.
We were trained this way.
Yeah. But okay, cool. Right, but based on, do you want to share yours first or do you want me to keep going?
What algorithm did I choose? Struggle. Similar to lack, but with a little extra razzmatazz, you know.
One thing that I was going to say was not being seen kept me safe. So being able to be invisible kept me safe when I was younger. So I could be there, but you won't know I'm there. Or I can be there and not actually be there.
I guess I was choosing the people-pleasing algorithm.
I've been there before as well.
Yeah, I don't have nothing deep to say like Breeze just said, but that was the one I feel like I was choosing. Yeah.
I'm just Fonte with the locks.
Word. And the reason I was saying that is because once you've established that this is the algorithm, the habit, I like saying algorithm because it sounds cooler than habit, but this, once you've established that this is the algorithm that you personally set up for you, the question that I realized that I had to ask myself was, one, why on earth would I continue to pick this algorithm if I know I don't like it? And then the other thought that came was like, well, I mean, clearly some part of me is getting some benefit from it. Otherwise, I would have got rid of it already. You get rid of everything that you actually don't, that has no purpose in your life, usually. Like, if it doesn't have any purpose, you'd be like, I'm not about to use that. What am I about to?
That's true. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, with the algorithm that you've chosen, you've been choosing that same thing for years. So you know it. Even if it can be the most uncomfortable thing, but you know this uncomfortability. Rather than knowing that the grass on the other side of the fence has been watered, nurtured, seeded, churned. I don't even think you churn grass.
I don't think
that's how you do butter? That.
Yeah. But the fact that you don't necessarily, like, you know what's over there is better than what's here because you dreamed about what's over there. And if you know everything starting here, the fact that I dreamed that this is so good, it's going to be even better when I get over there. But I know what this is. I know what it is on this side of the fence. I'll be here every day. I could do this with my eyes closed. I know once I walk down the steps, I can turn right. The kitchen is right there. Like, just little stuff like that. I know this. I don't know that. I want to know that. But it might be safer to stay here.
Mm-hmm. Before we get too far, though, what was your
algorithm? I said I agree. I think it probably was people-pleasing. Mm-hmm. Or it was probably people-pleasing combined with some other ones that kind of like fought. It was just a few algorithms just stacked on top of each other. It was nasty work. Just nasty work. I don't know why I would set myself up like that.
I had my own algorithms stacked on top of each other, too. It was like
Jenga?
Nah, I was thinking about Uno. Was like how we play. Draw four, draw four, draw four, draw mm-hmm. two, draw two. Everybody got draws except me. Mm-hmm. I just got a wild. Mm-hmm. What I'm going to do with that? Mm-hmm.
So you're going to change the color of the next draw too. That's about it. But it's funny because when I started thinking about it, I'm like, all right, well, once you, like, whatever algorithm you have, and this kind of reminds me of Atomic Habits, but like whatever algorithm you have, it's like you're setting it up. Or it's been set up so that you don't have to think about it, so that even like just you doing the start of it gets everything else in motion. So when I was thinking about it, I was like, well, all right, let's say your habit is scrolling, right? The thing that gets the entire algorithm started is the second you pick up your phone. Maybe it's in the morning. So you pick it up, and then automatically before you get a chance to think about it, you are already in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why does nobody like mention it as if the first thing is usually the most important? So like it's a lot easier for you to not start the algorithm than to stop it midway through.
So when I was at work, I was talking to this lady, and she was talking about the book The Power of Now, which I still haven't read yet, mm-hmm. but I do have it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And she had asked me, like, what's the very first thing that you do when you wake up? And I was like, I try to think of a grateful thought. And she was like, no, what's the very first thing that you do when you wake up? Yeah, you wake up. Like, you mm-hmm. you know, that, like, you acknowledge your consciousness. Even if you don't open your eyes, like, a part of you waking up is, like, acknowledging that you are awake now, right? And so it's interesting when you said that, like, the starting of the algorithm,
mm-hmm.
it's like, literally, that's the very first part of the algorithm for maybe your morning or however you start your day. So I think that if you maybe, like, it's easier to change the algorithm when you actually know all of the parts to it, because there's little pieces that are habits that we don't acknowledge or don't think are significant enough that we're like, I mean, that's just me acknowledging that I'm awake. I didn't think that was even a thing. Like, I'm not waking up like, oh, I'm awake now. And like, you know, so just thinking about that, but like literally thinking about every single piece of what your day looks like or your algorithm or your routine, whatever it is. Well, I think that actually helps you to be able to shift it. So you know what actually is familiar, what is a habit, what's not, and stuff like that.
I got two things. The first thing that I was going to say was, it's funny to me how people ask questions and looking for a specific answer. So, like, what's the first thing that you do when you wake up? What was your answer initially?
Think a grateful thought.
And they're like, no, you acknowledge your consciousness. And I'm like, no, the first thing I do is think a grateful thought. You want to tell me what I do with my first waking
no.
breath? I'm thinking a grateful thought, but I just found that funny that people do that. It's like, no, you're wrong. No, I'm not. This is what I do. And my other thing was, I feel like people aren't necessarily choosing their algorithms like intentionally, because a lot of us aren't choosing our lives. So like, if I wake up and I know I gotta work, like my mindset is work.
Sorry, I couldn't help it.
Everything that I'm doing, I'm not doing things because I want to or because I'm in control. I'm doing this because I'm trying to survive.
I disagree.
Oh, no, you don't disagree.
Oh man, but I think like the hardest thing is to acknowledge that you're the person that was in control of it, right? So there's the reason why you're getting up and you're work, right?
Why?
Right. The reason why you're doing that is because you get a benefit from it. Now, whether or not you've acknowledged what the benefit is from it, that's a different thing. But I think, like, you're choosing it, you're just not always aware that you're the person that's choosing it. So, like, but once you're aware of it, which is what they were saying, it's like, once you're aware that this is the algorithm that you're in it, now anything after that is a choice. But if it's just something that, oh, your parents did for a long time, cool, and then now you do it, cool. The second you're aware that this is something that your parents did for a long time and you continue to do it, it's 100% your choice now. So anything that happens after that, it's like, it was 100% your choice because you started the algorithm off.
But one thing I was going to just say, I don't think it's a conscious decision all the time, just because stuff be passed down. And if, like you said, this is my parents did. If my parents did this, 9 times out of 10, everybody else around me is doing the same. There might be one person that's doing something different. But even like when I was talking about the sun shining, I'm talking craziness. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the sun shining, but it'd be like one person that's doing something different, and they're like the eyeball out. So my entire life, all I've seen was this certain algorithm, and the algorithm is passed down. And you can finish, Shakoya.
I was just going to say that I don't know that people be realizing that they have a choice to like choose other algorithms. Mm-hmm. Like, not even just that. So like, I think to a certain extent, I think, yes, a lot of things are passed down, right? And a lot of people look at it like, oh, well, this is just the they'll look at it as this is the tradition. Like, this is just the way we do things. Versus it being like, no, this was a choice that your great-great-great-great-grandmother made. And she just taught it to her daughter. And then her daughter taught it. And then her son taught it. And da-da-da. Like, just passing it down like that. Versus being like, oh, we don't have to do this. Like, we don't, even in our family, like, you could say going to church every Sunday or being in church or even, like, being a pastor or whatever. I mean, after Pop-Up, nobody chose that route. But that's not the point. The point is that to a certain extent, there were probably people before us where it was, like, a thing where they felt like, oh, well, it's just, you know, this is a family thing. I mean, even talking to Pop-Pop, like, he was like, this is, you know, my uncle was a pastor, my dad was a pastor, and I was like, that's a lot of people. So like, just thinking about it like that, where so on, it is a choice, but maybe it's not a conscious choice because you think that like, this is just what we do.
I agree. I think, and that's why I said, so I think initially when you're unaware of why you're doing it, right, you're not like, you're choosing, but you're not like, it's not really your, because it's still a habit. So you're choosing, but you're not really choosing, right? The second you're made aware of what the habit is, like, well, you know, this is what everybody has done. The underlying thing is like, this is what everybody else has done, comma, so I'm gonna continue to do this exact same thing. Even if you're not acknowledging that, that's what you're saying when you do it. What you're saying is like, all right, cool, this is what everybody's done. And if for you, it feels like you don't have a choice, but you do have a choice. But now that you're like, all right, this is what everybody's done, and you do it again, it's still on you. Like, mm-hmm. at that point, it's still on you because you, now you're aware of whatever this is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All I was going to say was, I believe it leans into the people-pleasing thing because I'm aware of it, but I'm not living my life for myself. I'm living my life to please you. So if I think this is what you want me to do, I'm saying this from experience. Mm-hmm. If I think that this is what you want me to do or how you want me to be, I'm going to be this to please you, mm-hmm. not to please myself. I don't want to do this at all. Mm-hmm. But if this makes you proud of me, mm-hmm. I'm going to do it to the best of my ability.
I think that in that way, it becomes so ingrained in you, like it's such a part of your life that you don't realize. Maybe it's that you don't realize that you're actually choosing this thing. Versus, so it might still be a conscious decision, like you consciously made this decision, but you don't realize that this thing is a part of this algorithm, or that if you use the people pleasing as an example, since I mean all of us have firsthand experience with that, it's like I'm making this decision based off of you, but I've done this for the past 30 years, so for me in my mind, I'm like, this is just how we do things. This is just the right decision. It's not that I'm choosing this path or this path. I'm choosing the path that goes along with the identity that I've chosen for myself, you know, or the identity that I've adopted in this moment or throughout my life. So now, moving forward, like I be explaining to people, like, I'm a recovering people pleaser. So, like, I still have the potential to choose that thing, or to choose this, to make this decision, like, to please you, but I'm fully aware now that this decision would please you and not please me. So now I can choose something else. But when you've already decided or associated with a particular identity for so long, you start to make decisions out of habit or out of, I guess, like, the validation that you get from the response of you making the decision for that person, and that becomes, like, what you gravitate toward versus, like, this is the most in my life that I've ever asked myself, what do I want, right? So in asking myself, what do I want, I start to realize, oh, there's other options. Because, like, mom wants me to do this, or dad wants me to do this, or this will make this person happy. But what do I want? I don't know what's out there. Then I gotta figure out what else is out there.
I think before you're made aware, right? It's all invisible. I think once you're made aware, the steps after the first step are invisible. I feel like once you're made aware of it, like, you're aware of, like, all right, if I do this, then I know the next five steps are gonna be X, Y, and Z. But most of the time, if you mess around and do the first step, you may not even realize that you're in the chain of the next algorithm or whatever. So I think that's when it's like, oh, like, this is all habit. This is years. It's because you made the first step towards, like, you took the first step in the algorithm, in the chain of the move sets or whatever. So, like, when I started thinking about it, I was like, oh, it's super imperative for you to make sure that the first step doesn't get activated if you don't want it to get activated. Because if you do the first thing, the chances of you doing the next three to four things, it's going to kick on before your body actually gets a chance to do it.
And that's why when I was bringing up, like, the first thing that you do when you wake up is acknowledge that you're conscious. It's like, when you look at that as the first step in the chain of, I guess, the chain of reaction, what did you call it? The chain of the algorithm?
Yeah. I can't remember exactly what I said.
If you look at that as the first step in the chain, right, then versus looking at the grateful thought as the first step, it changes what you have to shift. Because it's like, okay, so if that's the first step, is that I acknowledge that I'm awake, and then I have the grateful thought, and then the grateful thought could lead me to something positive, or it could lead me to picking up my phone and scrolling. Or if you acknowledge, like, okay, so my first step is I wake up. I mean, first step is the grateful thought, and then the second step is turn off my alarm. I don't know. It just changes what steps you get changed, because they're just like little, they're smaller pieces that we do, like things that we do that we don't always acknowledge that could be very impactful to how you start your day or how you start this algorithm. And they make a difference. I don't know if that was the best example, but y'all know what I'm saying.
I think it was fine. I think it made perfect sense.
Okay.
It's just really just choosing. Yeah, like y'all were saying, we're not taught that we have the power to choose. So a lot of things seem like they predetermined or predestined. Like, okay, in this house, you're going to be a doctor.
That's what they be saying.
Like, hold on.
I'm three. Like, I'm three.
So, like, yeah, I feel like we don't know that we actually have choices until we've already told ourselves so many times we don't have choices, we don't have choices. Even if you go to work, a lot of people complain about the job. All actuality, you can choose to get another job or do something different. You don't have to keep deciding to come to this job. Mm-hmm. Now I'm talking to myself. Mm-hmm. You don't have to continue to like keep showing up if you don't want to show up.
Yeah.
Because when you connect it to the source, everything is already, everything already paid for, taken care of. You just have to choose. Mm-hmm. Lord, choose wisely. The choice is yours.
Always is.
When you connect it to the source. You know what they say? Before I had money, I've been had some. That's in the book of Gucci. Gucci Mane. Before I had money, I've been had sauce. If you ain't got sauce, then you're lost. And you can also get lost in the sauce.
Amen.
My, my, my.
Amen.
Book of Gucci.
You know what I'm saying?
Verse Mane.
Verse Mane is crazy. Gucci verse Mane? Woo! That's funny. That's funny.
That's the main verse.
That's the main verse. Come on now. That's funny. Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, I think that's the... It really all goes down to the first step. Like Shorty was asking you, the first thing you do when you wake up, for me, is I praise God and start stomping feet. You know what I'm saying? That's what, that. But I'm just saying, praise God and start stomping feet. But
what is happening?
But no. But seriously, like I think it's literally like how you, like the first step is so imperative, and I feel like we just be ignoring whatever the first step is. You'd be like, all right, I like mentally I know, and the craziest part is the first step is usually the easiest choice for you to make. Like everything else after the first choice, it'd be so much harder. Like,
that's what I was telling you earlier about working out. Mm-hmm. At first I was like, man, you gotta be disciplined to work out every day. And I'm like, you don't really gotta be disciplined. You just gotta decide to show up and like just get started. Like you don't have to wanna be here to be here.
Yeah. I was gonna say that I think now I got two things. Cause to what you were saying about just showing up, that goes back to like the Atomic Habits, the 2-minute rule of like you do something for 2 minutes, and then if you still want to do it, you keep going, and if you don't want to do it, at least you did show up for today. Like, but what I was also gonna say is, I think a lot of times we ignore the first step because a lot of times the first step is actually automated. Like a lot of the first things that we do are automated, or it's automated because it's like it might be a response to something. Like even if you think about like cleaning, a lot of times, most times for most people, it's triggered by the sight of clutter or dirt or whatever it is, versus it being like, oh, this is something that I planned and I scheduled to go ahead and clean up this thing every week. I think a lot of times the first thing in our algorithmic chain. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I'm extending this phrase.
Mm-hmm. But, you don't have to add a chain to it. You can just leave it.
But like the first thing that we do a lot of times is something that's automatic, or like it might be instinctual, and then okay, this just triggered this thing, and then it triggered this thing, and then you start doing this thing, and then you start doing this other thing, versus it being like, oh, I made this conscious decision that I was going to do this thing today at this time, and then I was going to do the next thing, or it linked to that other stuff.
I was just going to ask, do you feel like it may be a thing of, I don't want to acknowledge the fact that I have control over the first thing I do, because if I have control over the first thing I do, that tells me that I'm choosing the next thing and the next thing. And it's a way to just release the thought of I'm really the one doing this to me, or I'm in the control of what's happening.
Me personally, I just feel like we don't be paying that much attention.
All right.
To ourselves and to, like, just, like, the way that life actually works. And I think that what happens is we don't have to pay attention to a lot of things because a lot of things are told to us. A lot of things are taught to us and we just take it as gospel instead of, like, looking into it. Or we'll learn things that counter our experiences, but we discredit our own experiences because we feel like we're not the expert of our lives. And then we're just like, oh, well, they said this is because of this, so it must be that. So let me just move on and not really pay attention to what just happened.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, it was an older point that you had made. Well, it was, older point that you made. To be honest, I don't think most of the stuff, like the first thought, I don't think the first choice ends up being automatic. I think we put ourselves in scenarios where, like, where we're not, you're not thinking for the first choice. So, like, I think for me, when I first wake up, outside of praise God and stomp your feet, right? So, besides that, one of the things that happens is if I get up, turn off my alarm, and if I turn back, that automatically makes me want to go back to sleep,
mm-hmm.
right? But if I get up, turn off my alarm, and then grab my water bottle, everything else after that becomes a whole different algorithm, right? But the choice is always whether or not I pick up my water bottle or if I turn back. And so that's why I was saying, like, that choice right there, that choice is never automatic. That choice is always, it's like a split decision, and it actually ends up being the least weighted choice, because everything else feels like, dang. Like, if I decide to, like, turn back around, that means I'm going back to sleep, and then I end up waking up at 5:30, 5:45. And then everything else after that is it feels like it's such so much harder for me to be like, I gotta work out, the weight of this decision, as opposed to like that split second where it's like, all right, do I grab my water bottle, do I turn back around?
So the automatic part that I'm referring to is when I was talking about like clutter, it's seeing the clutter. Right? And I guess from there, like, the first thing, the trigger, whatever starts the algorithm, whatever button is pressed, that's the thing that's like it's like automatic or autonomic, or however you want to say it.
But
so
it was autonomous. That's what I thought the word was.
It has different variations of it. Because there's like the autonomic nervous system. Anyways.
And I was going to say anatomy.
Yeah, it's in there. It's in there. But like, just the thing of, maybe I'm referring to is like the automatic thing is the whatever is triggers it, like the actual first thing. So like, you getting up in the morning, the first thing would be maybe be your first inhale when you wake up in the morning, versus like the first thing, you're going based off of the first decision. I'm just going based off of the first acknowledgement of your body.
Yeah, but I think I'm more so saying, like, the fact that, like, all right, you see the clothes, and then that starts the trigger, right? Whether or not you put yourself in a position to see the clothes or not starts the entire invisible chain of things happening. So, like, all right, cool. You're like, I know if I go in this room and I see these clothes, I'm about to spend the next 3 hours cleaning everything in this room. The choice would be, either I go in this room or I don't go in this room. And that's independent of whether or not, like, that part isn't automatic. Because that part is, like, that sets up the next part. It's like dominoes. Like, all right, if I decide to open this door, I know that this is going to happen. But if I decide I don't go to that door, then that doesn't happen. Which is really funny, because it's like, that's why I said it all kind of boils down to, like, just, it'd be the smallest thing. Like, all right, I'm just gonna close this door. And you know what? I just saved myself 3 hours. Like, to me, that's what I've noticed, is like, that part isn't automatic. I think anything that ends up being a response ends up being automatic for me.
Yeah, that's what I'm referring to, just like the responses.
Got you.
Yeah, like the response, whether it's that your body just had a reaction to this thing, mm-hmm. or whatever thought was triggered by it, or just like the initial natural response is what I was referring to as being automatic. Versus, because then, okay, like I saw this thing and I was repulsed by it. Now I got to make a decision of if I'm going to close the door or if I'm going to clean up this stuff. And then I think it triggers from there. But yeah, the initial thing that I was referring to that is automatic is just the initial response to whatever just triggered the algorithm.
What algorithm would y'all like to choose for yourself?
Dang, that's what I was going to ask. Go ahead.
You know, I don't be liking that because I feel like y'all always know I have a thought.
Yeah, that's why I tell you to go ahead before me so I can gather my thoughts.
You know, it's an algorithm, you know?
Like, I always have something to say. I just don't always say it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the first thing that came to my mind is a billionaire algorithm. Ooh. I know that comes with a lot more responsibility than I'd be wanting to take and a lot more risk. Mm-hmm. But it don't even really be risky because I know what I'm doing. I just don't be wanting to put forth the effort. But I'm choosing a billionaire algorithm. Billionaire Breeze here, a.k.a. Monte with the Locks, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. Bodman Breezington, a.k.a. Boop, boop,
boop! I like that. That was good. What about you?
I am choosing the algorithm of my higher self in every aspect.
Boo, hate is going.
Hating. I was actually going to say that.
That's crazy. You gonna boo me, but because I ain't picked the billions? That's crazy.
Oh, y'all.
I picked the highest version. But yeah, that's probably what the algorithm that I'm choosing. What about you? I have other thoughts. I'll let you go.
I feel like I'm choosing the algorithm of now I do what I want.
Now I do what I want.
Now I do what I want.
Yeah.
And so like positive abundance, joy, peace, the algorithm of health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression.
Mm-hmm. Talk about it.
Yeah, I think that's the algorithm that I'm choosing going forward because I feel like those will bring me the things that I want as well. But what I'm looking for is actually those things, health, wealth, love, and perfect self-expression. Or what I'm choosing is those things because I already have them.
Gotcha.
You said you had more thoughts.
I think I did. But they're escaping me slowly.
Oh.
Quickly.
Slowly, quickly.
Yeah. It was happening rapidly. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think that now I'm in a space where maybe it's because I'm 30 now. But I feel like I've seen enough things and I've experienced enough of where the people pleasing algorithm gets me. And I like to have my freedom, and my freedom comes with joy and peace, and it don't got nothing to be doing with being broken, lacking, or suffering.
Mm-hmm.
So even in the things that seem unconventional, but I want to try or experience, I'm going to make sure that I go after those things because that's what's important. I want to live a life where I'm happy. I don't want to be out here miserable and at a job 20 years later still complaining about the same old things because I've witnessed that. That just ain't the life for me. There's more for me. So, I'm choosing the princess algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna be out here living my abundant life.
Mm-hmm. And I was gonna say this might be a question that everybody might need to
ask
ponder.
Themselves?
Yeah, ponder and deep dive. But I was gonna say, what would the first step of the algorithm have to be for it to work? Because as I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking like, you know, it's really crazy because once you do the first step, everything else just kind of falls into place without you having to think about it. So I was just thinking, like, what would be the first step?
You got something?
Of course.
You want to go?
I would say the first step is making a decision that this is what I'm doing. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. So once you make that decision, immediately you begin to move different see yourself differently. So that's what I would say. Making the decision that this is who I am and actually standing on that decision. So you don't got to have everything figured out, but I know this is how I show up. Mm. And it don't even got to be perfect because everybody just figuring it out. Billionaire Breeze looks different than billionaire Sequoia, billionaire Damani. It's just what I'm doing attracts billions.
Millions.
And it has a positive effect.
Millions.
Trillions, gazillions, billions.
Mm. Billion dollar. I like that. You're wise.
It's the hair. Just Fonte with the locks. A vessel.
For me, what I'm finding is choosing the algorithm means letting go. And not just like, so like I've been letting go of like physical things, but I feel like I've been holding back a lot of aspects of myself in order to please other people or doing things in a way that made sense in order to please people or so that they would understand what I'm working toward. And I just have to kind of let go of like expectations of people, of my own thoughts of how things should look, and all of my thoughts, like everything gets expressed, is a part of this algorithm that I've been choosing. So, and also just like trusting myself and following my instincts. So a lot of letting go has had to be necessary for me to continue to choose this algorithm and not drag my feet also. What about you?
I want it to be known that y'all went in a totally different direction than I was thinking.
Oh.
Y'all went, he was going to say, no, we going here. You feel like this. This is the first thing.
Nah, like, y'all went, like, metaphorical and,
Oh, you meant literal?
I meant literal, yeah. But it's okay because y'all answers was impactful, so.
Get rid of clothes.
Bravo. But I know, because I was going to say, in a more metaphorical and deep sense, it would also be, for me, just consistently choosing to be that, iteration of myself. And I think, I'll just answer in a literal sense too, but I think, for me, in a literal sense, it's like, it is usually how I start my day. And it's usually me choosing to not focus on anything outside of what's inside me. Because if I start my day looking outside of me, everything snowballs into something that I don't need to be doing. I end up doing something because you did something, because he did something. Like, and it's like, it never ends up being fulfilling when I do it that way. So if I start internally what I would like to do, like making the decision for me, like even if it's just me deciding what my day is going to look like before I step out the room, it's like, okay, cool. These are the things that I decided before I got here. I'm not responding to anything else. Everything else is working itself around my personalized schedule, like my idea of what I feel like I need to be doing. So that would be the more literal approach.
Oh, a literal approach. Mm-hmm.
That's why I said y'all might need some time. But I like y'all answers. Y'all was great. Y'all be reading books, philosophizing, and doing all that good stuff. So, mm-hmm.
Okay, so literal approach. One thing that helps me a lot is when I start my day drinking a glass of water.
Tapped into the well of abundance.
Yeah, like when I bless my water and I drink my water and just like have a, it's like a meditative moment for me. That helps the rest of my day. I don't know, it's like a couple different things that will help, but like that was, I need to get back to that because that was like a huge part of me starting my day in a way that, I don't know, all my decisions was choosing this algorithm. Like, I was very creative in that time.
A literal sense for me would be it got to start the night before. So if I plan out what I'm doing the night before, it's easier for me to do it because consciously and subconsciously, I've already decided that this is what I'm doing. And also, I got to get the stuff done, or most of the stuff done, before I eat. Mm. I operate best and most efficiently when I'm in a fasted state.
Mm.
So, I work best without food. And then it go back to, you know, like in this house, food is the motivator. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, it's not, but it might be.
Yeah,
let me get all this done, then I can eat. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the eating is like the reward for the work that I did.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually.
That's crazy. Literally working for your supper is hilarious. I'm going about that.
I was just going to say, I should like reward myself by actually making better meal, like,
mm-hmm.
But we didn't.
She said, everyone,
we didn't. Yep. Rush, though. Yeah. Like, so, like, just like, okay, get all this done. We going to feast.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, she said, it like you be starving and the food don't be good.
No, she's
like,
mm-hmm, good,
you gotta make some better meals.
I've been thinking about lasagna soup for like 2 weeks. I almost bought noodles last week when I was at the market.
I was like,
that's not on the list. It's not on the list. Mm-hmm. Let's focus on the list. But
that's funny. That's just funny. I was going to say, are there any other algorithms that you guys have noticed that have been in your detriment? I know for me, overeating, sticking with food, mm-hmm. has been one. And I didn't even realize I was doing it until one of the days I watched a video that reminded me of something that I knew already. That, you know, and I think in Okinawa they eat to like 80%. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh yeah, they say eat to 80%, like eat to right before you're full. And they were like, well, it takes 20 minutes before your body actually realizes that you're full. And I was like, huh. Hmm. And then, so I'm watching the video while I'm eating. Right? So I'm like, that's so interesting. I feel full, but I still got some food left. So like, I was like, you know, maybe I'll wait. And then I go to work and I'm like, I'm still kind of full, but I want to make sure I got to eat dinner. The window, I don't want to eat after this. So I start eating and then instantly I'm like, okay, I still have some food left over again. The same choice. I'm like, do I close this? I'm like, let me just finish it because I'm not going to want to come back. So I finish it. Instantly I'm like, dang, my stomach kind of hurt a little bit. I was like, oh, I'm past 80%. This is the 20-minute lag time. Wow. And it's just like, but I saw myself, and then I saw how I felt, how my mind was feeling. It was harder for me to breathe. I'm like, whoa. All of this because I decided to go past my little 80% threshold.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, okay, cool. And then now anytime I'm eating, like, it pops up in my brain. And now it's like, if I choose it, it sounds crazy to me to say, hey, you're choosing discomfort, not being able to breathe, mm-hmm. and your energy being up. Like, that just sounds crazy to me. Why would I do that? Like, just chill for a few minutes, see how you feel.
You put things in terms of, like, not the symptoms, but, like, the results,
mm-hmm.
versus, like, what the thing is, because overeating sounds very simple, but when you put it in terms of, like, how you're going to feel, mm-hmm. after you overeat, it really makes things a lot less desirable. Like,
now that you say that, I might have to start describing it like that.
Yeah, like,
if I catch myself scrolling, it's like, what you choose? Oh, I'm choosing to have worse posture, to have my eyes hurt. It's like, why would I ever do that? Like, why would I do it to be distracted? Like, why would I do that to
insecure.
Myself? You know what I'm saying? Like, why would I do any of that?
I was
like,
judging myself. You know what I'm saying? I just made $100,000 and Sequoia just made $200,000. Now I'm like, I'm not doing enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm living my dream life, but I'm not doing enough.
But it's crazy because, like, I think if maybe that's something we can try, but like, listen out the result based on what you're doing. Because, like, you get a payoff, whatever it is, whether it's overeating. It's like, oh, overeating, I get to eat more of this delicious food. That's a great, for us, it's like, that's amazing. Like, seeing the difference in the results. Like, all right, but if I overeat, I get X, like, it's three, like, ooh, bloated?
If I don't overeat, I also have some of this delicious food for tomorrow.
Like, look at the mental switch.
I don't have to cook tomorrow.
Ooh, leftover. overflow. Abundance. The sauce. My bad. Got carried away. Part of me.
Wow. Wait.
I was asking.
I don't know if we answered the question.
Yeah, I was gonna say, did y'all notice any other stuff that was to your detriment?
Okay. To our detriment?
Yeah. Any other algorithms?
Yes. I would say the mine isn't necessarily overeating. Okay, actually, that was one of them. But like with the junk food. Like, it's not overeating, but it's eating more junk food. Even though it's healthier junk food, it's still like my face is breaking out.
Chocolate chips.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Them chocolate chips is tearing me up. I have to get this recipe right so I can be done.
Or you can just not eat the chocolate chips.
I have to get this recipe right so I can be done.
Yeah, and the question is you eating the chocolate chips the first step in the chain? Or is there something that leads you to eating to the chocolate chips?
Going to work. I need to quit my job.
That's crazy.
That's what it be.
I really be coming home from work and eating the chocolate chips.
That's crazy.
That's really like the chain of events. Nothing else, nothing be wrong. I be having a great day. I just be like, oh.
You need to wind down.
Yeah, let me go ahead and have this chocolate chip. Oh, and another algorithm that I saw, I would say would be, well, I guess it's like a burnout algorithm. Of just doing a lot of things, feeling like I have to do a lot of things by myself and not taking the time in between to take care of myself. So like the past 3 months, so like I went on like a 6 to 9 month run, y'all. I was going strong, okay? And for the past 3 months, like I wasn't able to actually do anything. Like I didn't have the energy to do anything. Because I was trying to still go at the same speed, and also I started working a new job. So now it's like choosing different for myself is choosing to prioritize myself in every moment and actually take care of myself before it's too late. Like take preventative care. Preventative self-care is the algorithm that I'm choosing now, you know?
Mm.
And what was the question one more time?
Are there any algorithms that you noticed that are a detriment to yourself? That's your
one that I have. I had two, but I don't remember. It was based off something you said. What was the last thing you said?
Preventative self-care.
Before that.
Taking care of myself before I burn out. Eating chocolate chips.
All right, forget it.
What you said. Let's just move this out of your mind completely. Just whoop.
So the one thing that I have is, I remember the other one. So the first one is sheltering myself, like away from the world and everything. Yeah. So I was sheltered, but then I took that into adulthood.
Mm. Yeah, me too.
So now it's like when I was little, I wouldn't do stuff or even present myself to like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go here, blah, blah, or we can do that, because a lot of times the answer was no.
Mm-hmm.
And now I be seeing myself do that now.
You be telling yourself no?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I don't even have to.
Do I be doing that? Now I gotta reassess my life, because I think I actually do that too. Oh no!
And then the other thing is...
Oh no! Sorry.
Mm-hmm. It's a cultural divide. Get it on the throne.
You really about to do it? Sorry.
I was about to say the next line, but I can't remember it.
40 acres in the Mewis is bigger than music.
Mm. Like that.
When I'm slipping, I'm sliding, I'm riding through the back like, whoa!
That's cool.
Sorry. The other thing was...
I'm not doing it. I'm two times out of me, that's all y'all getting today.
The other thing was working alone.
Mm.
Being, like, making it
feeling like you gotta do everything yourself.
Yep, feeling like I gotta do everything myself. Do everything on my own. That's another thing. It's people out there that have abilities to do other things better than me. And if I just let the people who wanna do these things and I can focus on the things I want to do. If we come together, it's going to be a beautiful harmony. But I love the fact that I know how to do stuff, because if you're taking too long, now I could do it myself. But you got to give people a chance to help you, because a lot of people want to help and want to be useful and everything like that. But if I don't give them a chance, I'll never know.
I'm wondering if the feel like I have to do everything myself algorithm is being triggered by the I tell myself no. I like sheltering myself, like not, I don't know, I guess being more isolated, like if it's triggered by that, like those actually go together.
In my head, it sounds like, based off what you guys said, it sounds like y'all don't want to be disappointed, so you're like, I'll just do it myself. Like you, at some point you've been disappointed, whether or not it's because you've heard somebody say no, or just from people, and so you're like, I don't like that feeling. I don't want to feel that. So to avoid that feeling at all,
I just do it myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's another podcast episode.
I was also going to say, after us having all of these conversations, I'm realizing that you only ever have like one choice to make, because everything else just kind of goes on autopilot after that. Like when it comes to like doing something or not doing something, whether it's good or bad, it's like, all right, am I going to do this or not?
Yeah, we only got a certain amount of decisions that we actually able to make in a day. So, makes sense.
But I guess when you think of it like moment to moment, though, too, like in any given moment, you only are making one decision.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, like, I feel like the decision that ends up being the most important, but the one that probably feels like it weighs the least is the first one. Because, like, for me, if it's scrolling, right, the decision to not scroll is a lot easier of a decision to make when I haven't scrolled yet, versus if I'm 30 videos in, because now it's like, I want to stop, but, like, dang, this next video, whatever it is, like, it always ends up just being, like, in my head, if I'm thinking about it, just as one decision as opposed to me making 30 decisions, because the rest of it is just going to kind of, like, move depending on whatever you set up prior. So like, or if it's like working out, like the easiest thing for you to do is to set it up so that you can work out. All right, I might be like putting your shoes, like it's time we have, is putting your shoes by the door, so that I know if I grab these shoes, everything else is gonna happen. But if I don't grab these shoes, we back on the couch with the chocolate chips, you know. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's always the choice, like it's always like just that one choice. So it's like, all right, chocolate chips or the shoes.
How do you know I'll be on the couch?
I mean, where else are you going to eat it?
At the couch?
In the shower or something? That might be sad.
At the island. Why would I eat chocolate chips in the shower?
I don't know.
A bag of chocolate chips was left on the table next to the couch.
Yeah, there was evidence, yeah.
I'll start putting them away.
No, it's too late now. We know where your hiding spot is. I mean, you're not a hiding spot, but you're...
That's why you couldn't blame it on the cookies.
Yep. I'm like, hold on, chocolate chips?
Well, if you put the chocolate chips in the sun butter, it tastes like Reese's.
Right.
I miss Reese's.
Maybe you put a chocolate chip in a date and sprinkle some
salt with your lady on there,
okay, as well as some sun butter. Heard it's a delectable treat.
It tastes like Snicker Reese's.
I thought you were going to say, it tastes like snickerdoodle.
That's what I thought too. It tastes like snickerdoodle. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's all I got. I ain't got nothing else.
All right. Well, do you have any final thoughts? All right. Comment below. Let us know what algorithm have you chosen in the past and which one are you choosing going forward. We'd love to hear from you guys. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend. Hit that notification bell so you never miss an upload. And thank you for joining us.
Delay bell. As long as you hit the button, it's all that matters. No matter when you hit the button.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of the Gray Area Podcast. I'm Shakoya D.
Bodman Breezington Ear.
Your humble friend, Damani.
And thank you for joining us. If you want to watch this podcast live and early, as well as other content that we have for you guys, join the Patreon. Join the good people of the Gray Area in the Patreon. We'd love to see you guys there. And all that is linked below in the description. We'll link the books that we mentioned and all of the other things that we have going on. But we appreciate each and every one of you guys, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Adios.
Stay blessed. Stay black, people.
And if you love this episode, you're going to love the one that's linked up on the screen. Good night.
Alright. You say what?
And know yourself! Know your worth!
Jukebox, give me another J! Ah,
get on my face! Ah, get on my. Get on my.
Get on my motherfucking face!
Please.
Push the goddamn button!